When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Central Stadium, where every name matters.
Welcome to the Premier Group Podcast, episode number 88. Today, I'm your host, Kevin Ryan, and I'm joined by Sean Smith from Turles Ashiels, Steve Conlon from Park Davins, and Timmy Tant for the day, Timmy Hammersley from Clonaughty Rossmore. Today, we have a lot to discuss with the top three grades in Tipperary having either quarterfinal or preliminary quarterfinal stage. We also, for the first time, we're going to try some readers' questions and that. So straight into it, lads. The dwarf senior now, as I'm going to call it, because there seems to be no outstanding team in Tipperary Club hurling this year at senior level. Quarterfinals of the weekend, four games in the stadium. A lot of diverging views on this, whether they were actually impressive or not. Sean, I'm going to come to you with the mid-derby, first of all. Drummond Ockmore, this one was on national television. Apparently wasn't the greatest advert for this, for the health of the club game at the moment in Tipperary.
Probably wasn't, but a lot of club games I've seen in TG4 for the last few weeks kind of went the same pattern, you know. The favourite team, Drum, pretty dogged it out in the end, but Lockmore were there, like, they were bang there. A few bad wides in the second half, to be honest. They could have been there, and the goal chance came, like, but Drum just did enough. Like, it's hard for lads now. Yesterday, I said this could be the win that kind of Drum needed. They've beaten all the major players, like, around at the moment, and Lockmore, it doesn't mind when you beat Lockmore, you still have to go and beat them, lads, no matter what you do. They're impossible to beat, and, like, Drum knocked over 21 points, which is, I think, was the second highest score this weekend, point wise, along with Upchurch, like, you know, and Bracken. So, you know, they're motoring, but they don't like to kill hanging draw in the semi. They would have been hoping to maybe avoid winning the Hardy, but they'll have to do that.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Drum, I suppose, there were many people's dark horses at the start of the campaign. You know, they hit some really good scores, a good win over Temple Derry, and that they're after building quite nicely. Now they arrived at the semi-final stage there as probably the form team in it. Sean, I'll go to you on that one again with the likes of the Campions, and that hurling well.
Oh, they are, yeah, for sure. Like they're kind of players, or they're marquee kind of players, and lads are kind of touting around or hurling well. The thing with Drum is everything is going great for them, beating the big teams, but like, again, they would have been preferred to not see Klang in the semi. Lockmore, love to see Lockmore get ahead near the end of that game to see what Drum made of. Can they stern it out? Like, you know, like against those, they'd wipe the side. It was very, very far. Like, and the same with Boris Lee, you know, so no team kind of got on top of them and got kind of running them and kind of had to make him put short the wheel. Kind of had enough in the end to get seed out, like even though Lockmore had last minute free as well, 21 to even rob something, but they done enough, like.
Yeah, and you know, Lockmore, you know, much has been made about their injuries this year. Like, I suppose they will be disappointed in the way they go out, but you know, they, in true Lockmore style, they battled to the end, I thought. Like, you know, as you said, the couple of poor wides in the second half really cost them. They were still in that five, game, last part of the game.
I think they're missing five or six forwards, which, like, you know, that in any team, like, there shouldn't be in that roar, but geez, the war, like, you know.
Word on Noel McGrath there, still doing it for him, Stephen. Jesus, it's, you know, it's amazing to see, like, you know, 32 and still everything goes through.
Yeah, it's brilliant to see. When the commentators announced it on, when they in mid commentary, you know, they announced his age, 32, and you forget, like, 32 is not old, but you forget when they say 32, you realize, geez, Noel McGrath's around with 20 years now. You know, like,
an extra year on him. Is he 32 now, or is he 32 on Christmas?
I'm 32. The most, he's hardly 32 at Christmas. That'd make him only 31 then. He's even younger. Yeah.
33 at Christmas, I think.
But he's around so long. He's around so long that you're expecting him to be an old fella, but
no, he's only going 33. Because he's only going 32. I've 3 years on him. I'm 35 this year, and he's 32. He was minor in 08, so, and under 21 in 11. So he's definitely 32. Yeah.
There you go, no. Timmy. Welcome. That's quite the introduction now, Craig.
Yeah, sound. Yeah.
Premier View podcast.
Yeah.
Timmy, sure, I'll actually come to you next for the old club. I suppose one of the games of the weekend was penalty bowing out. You know, against Kildangan. Did you manage to see that game, Timmy?
I watched the back result, so yeah, that was it really. So yeah.
So thoughts on it, I suppose, going down to 14 men in the first half, it was always going to be difficult.
Yeah, Sean, probably, like, at the risk of being very parochial here, Sean Smith there was beside me in Borland against Thurles, so he'll know how parochial I can be. But I suppose at the risk of it, it does kind of feel like, with Aaron getting sent off and Jack going off injured, they would have been very near winning that game, potentially, you know. I think the score was 7-2. When Aaron went off, like, you know, and even just looking back on a few Twitter kind of comments, the general feeling was that Clonoulty were a gear or two ahead of Kildangan at that stage. So now, obviously, like, things can alter as well, and Kildangan have a serious team, and they clearly didn't start that well, and they could have always pushed on anyway. But it does feel like a lost kind of chance for them when they were very kind of consistent the whole year. And then they started very well against Kildangan. And, like, you know, anything that could have went wrong, well, like, Jack going off was huge. And Aaron getting sent off then was huge as well. And I suppose with the players that weren't available, it kind of caught up with them. But you look, fair play to Kildangan. They used the space when they had the opportunity to do so, and they tagged on the scores. But I think from a parochial perspective, it does feel like a lost opportunity for Clonoulty when they were going well the whole year, and they were consistently, like, they weren't special in every game, but they were consistent in every game they played. And I feel like consistency is going to win the TIFF Championship. Like, it's not anything special that's going to win it. Consistency. And I suppose, in fairness, like, the four teams that are in the semi-final, they have been consistent all year, all of them, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's an absolutely fair point. And as I said, you know, we've hardly no outstanding club team like we might have had in recent years. And you know, like, maybe on this podcast, we might be tipping up Kildangan a lot, like, you know, maybe on what they've done in recent years. But as you said, they don't seem to be motoring as they can. It's like they have a performance in them. And, you know, the second half against Clonoulty might be the start of them rediscovering a bit of form. But they've been solid, I think, rather than spectacular to date.
Yeah. And you could say that about all the teams. But, like, that's good as well. Like, that's good for teams who are there. Because you can only, like form, you know, to what you have. And I think all of the teams are there. Like you could say Killangan, obviously the people are identifying there's room for improvement based on the talent they have. But Upper Church, Kilrun, Drum, like no one can say they're not, you know, they are, you know, like whether they're all at full capacity, you know, is open for debate. But if you're each one of them squads, you're very happy with where you are so far, and you're also happy with how you've played so far, you know. But just on the game that was on Saturday, like Drum and Loughmore, it's the game that I kind of watched, obviously, because it was on RT. Look, honestly, I think if Loughmore, like if they had two or three more of their players, they were winning that game. That's just my opinion. And they're possibly winning another championship. You know, it just, like, as kind of Sean said, like, they're missing six of their team there, you know, and six players, yeah, top-class players. Like, if they had two or three more of them, they are, in my book, the best in tip, really, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that there, Timmy. Being so close, like, there's one thing. Loughmore will always, no, I'm not saying any other club wouldn't, but the honesty of effort of the whole panel, no matter who comes in, like when these big players go down, it's just, you don't see a major difference in the team performance.
You saw how influential McCormick was and Conor McGrath, like they're only newcomers, like, and they're not, like, to my knowledge, they're not fellas with big underage pedigree, but they, particularly McCormick, like he, is that his first year playing senior even? Like he just took ownership in the forward line there, like, you know. Yeah.
Where I suppose where Drummond would be happiest, they had a couple of great wins in the league. They bet Barsley handy enough, and their running game looked to be unbelievable. And as against the Sars as well, I was up at that one, and it looked brilliant. But although the performance against Loughmore was shaky, and people can talk about the team, the players that Loughmore were missing, Drum still had a job to do.
100%, yeah, 100%.
They'll be very happy that they went out not playing their best, not playing the way they were playing the previous couple of games, and they grounded out. I suppose if you go back to all the county champions winners, they probably had a little hiccup along the road somewhere, and it's about getting over that hiccup. And, you know, Drum will be very confident going into that next round, along with Kildangan and the rest of the other teams as well.
Yeah.
And then so like that brings us on then to what was an all North clash. I didn't make this one myself. Tomb of Aaron, Kilruan just dogged it out. Jerry Kyle, very impressive again by all accounts, and calls again for his kind of inclusion in, or at least Dean Kyle to kind of make representations to him, whether he fancies it or not. But Kilruan again, you know, they've often kind of flattered to deceive in recent years, but, you know, with just being two games into it now, surely they're another serious contender.
Oh, they'd have to be. There's some fine hurlers up there, like, you know, and when you have Seamus Hennessy to come off the bench as well, like, you know, you have a real big player, a big leader coming off the bench too. And, without being too harsh on Upper Church, if Kilruan wanted to make a county final, they probably would have preferred to get Upper Church rather than Drum or Kildangan. So they'll fancy their chances of making it to a county final if they can be consistent. You know, they have to perform it. Like Keane Darcy, for me, like he's when he's in full flow, he's a fantastic hurler. But he needs to be, he's very inconsistent. He needs to be in full flow in this semi-final.
That's it. But we've been here with Kilruan before, lads. You know, where they put in a very impressive performance. Yeah. Or looks like they're on the cusp of something, and then it just all goes a bit pee-tong.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned the consistency there. You could, like, you know what you're going to get with Drum. You know what you're going to get with Kildangan. We don't know what we're going to get with Upper Church or Kilruan, because, you know, Not that they haven't been in these situations before. I don't know if Upper Church have ever, I don't think they've never been in this situation really. But it's who will stand up to it, because there's a county final at the end of the day for them after that game. But who will rise to the occasion best out of the two clubs? Like, you know, they'd probably be perceived as the lesser weights of the four that are in it.
But you know what, Upper Church for me, absolutely nothing to lose. Good solid team. They, you know, if it's pick a dark horse, I think it's them.
Are you being a bit harder than Kilrone there though? Like, I mean, they've been there or thereabouts, you know, and like they haven't been far off. Like you said, went belly up or something. That's similar. I don't know. Maybe I just kind of feel that's a bit harsh, is it? Like, again, they're not a club with massive resources either, and they're still like they're you know, they're getting further than other clubs at their own size as well, you know. So yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe they were fancy a bit like a Killinall a few years ago. They were fancy to, you know, kind of just break onto the scene. And maybe it's just, I suppose, my own thought would be that maybe that it's passed them by a bit. But yeah, it's a fair point maybe that, you know, we could be being a bit harsh on them. But Upper Church Brackens, that was arguably the game of the weekend, the best quality game. I think Bracken's about 6-7 minutes ago, 5 points up. Upper Church hit the last 8 scores of the game. Serious performance, you know there. So
Did anyone see about 3 minutes to go? Upper Church won a free out, and a Bracken's player got hit in the back of a hurley. And I thought he was going to throw the ball in, and Bracken scored next to pints then and went 1-3. It's only a pint in at then, about 2 left. Linesman into him at all, and actually said, kind of asked him what happened. I thought he'd definitely throw the ball in, but Bracken kept the free to Church. They scored, I think, from it, developing free. But that was a clinical point. I thought it was a couple minutes to go. Just 1-3, kind of pulled away easing in, but that was a point game at that point. No one even noticed.
Yeah, it was probably 3 points. It was nip and tuck the whole way.
Mm.
Can I make a good point about what I think is a decent point about those two teams, but particularly Upper Church? Can anyone ever remember the last time Upper Church had a really strong underage A team via minor under 21?
No,
I can't. Yeah.
But doesn't that just tell a story though as well? Like, because the last time they were good, like the last time was actually James Barry's, Colm Ryan's, and that was minor. They got to minor county final in 08, minor county final, yeah, in 08 with those lads on it. But to my mind, like, you have to give these kind of clubs credit as well. Like, it just shows you don't need a swamp of, you know, winning minor A titles under 16A or, you know, to really build a senior team, isn't it though? Like, you know what I mean? It's just like they're, I know it's the first time in a senior semi-final since 09. I think they got the county semi-final that year, Turles beat them. But they've built a very, very consistent, solid senior team. And it's been done without any huge success underage, just having very solid, like, B teams and bringing 2 or 3 players every year. And that just tells a lot, I think, for clubs that you don't necessarily need to be romping home, you know, A underage titles and all of that, you know.
Yeah, they consistently had good junior teams as well. Like, we'd all get hockey by him a junior, and them, yeah, a lot of their players now have played senior and come on. But the mid run, I think, helped them tons this year. No, they've got form in the mid, they got kind of pecking their shoulder, and they drove on from there. Like, you know,
what Timmy said there now should be plastered up on every small club in the county, because there's so many parents, especially, obsessed with their child playing the A grade and with the big club. Like, you know, you can build a successful club with players just playing hurling. Kids just want to go out and play hurling. If they're playing in the B grade or the C grade, as long as they have competitive matches at their own age group all the way up, what you'll see then is Upper Church. You know, like, with the
and that should be held up as, look, whether they win it or not, that what they've actually done with their group to have, that you've said it, that should be held up as what's achievable, isn't it? For clubs.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and I know I'm very philosophical in this kind of, but like, they'll be fully judged now on whether they win the county championship or they don't, but they're still doing really, really well. You know what I mean? That's my opinion.
Well, look, there is an absolute great opportunity there for him now.
Audrey's
probably the softer of the two semi-finals, you'd say. Both teams will say that, so I'm not saying...
Yeah, exactly.
Those two teams will be happy with the draw.
And don't forget the forwards that Upperchurch have, like Shanahan, the two Shanahans in there, Paddy Green, Colin Ryan, Paul Ryan, like they are, all of them are scoring forwards, all of them.
Yeah. That's right, lads. Call it before we have to leave the dwarf senior. Stephen, go to you first. Who's your champion?
Drummond Inch. I'm gonna stick with Drummond Inch.
Drum. Sean.
Drum, the winner, Drum and Kildangan. Just Drum probably.
Win yourself two there. Timmy.
Oh, look, I don't know whether I think he'll do it or not, but I actually don't know, but I hope Killeran do it. Because I think there's two groups of senior players in Tip that are my age I'm going to talk about, right? And they haven't a county medal, that have been there all the time senior, and Killeran are one of them. And that's like Seamus Hennessy, like Niall O'Mara. That's one, like, I'd love to see those crop get a title. The other crop is like the Tommy Heffernans and then Nina boys. Like, they're the two clubs of kind of my era I'm going to talk about, from late 20s their 30s, that have been there every year and year, and they still haven't reached the holy grail, we're going to call it. And Kilrana are one of those, like Upperchurch as well, but Kilrana have been always there, so I'd love to see them win it, and I think they actually could.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll stick with Upperchurch. I've been saying it all year, so see no reason to change now. Right, lads, onto the main event now. The fake intermediate, the Premier Intermediate. Ross Grace to lose surely gave a power pack performance against a very good Turles Sarsfields at the weekend. I heard half Turles kind of fancied Sarsfields here to cause a surprise. Sean,
Ross Grey blew us away. It's a different Ross Grey team than what I've seen over the years. There's powerful speed, fitness, everything.
No answer. On the pod group, he was singing their praises as well. It was like the second coming here, you know, with pace and movement and all this kind of stuff.
You know, like, we had good scalps in that team over the years. And we, to be honest, talking in, we had a chance. Like, I didn't think we'd lose by that at all, a couple of points. But Ross Grey, just, they could have been more up half time. They were 10 wides in the first half, 9 actually, and they said they looked very sharp. Even with 10 to go, like, you know, over the year, Ross Grey have often let leads slip. Done against Drummond Temple 2-1 the night. Done a few kind of 4 or 5 points up and let it slip. But they went on just one by more. Like, there's no stopping, like, and they look sharp, look glued in, sideline look, you just look like a team should be seen right.
It was interesting when you said power. It was interesting when you said when you mentioned power when you were describing Ross Grey, because after seeing him a few years ago, you'd be thinking that's what they lacked. They had the hurling, they had the pace, they were electric around the field, but they just didn't look, they had that senior physical power. And if that's been brought to their game as well, like Ross Grey are a fine big town, you know, and they should be duking it out up at the top table, and, you know, like, bringing that bit of power, and as you said, being so tuned in the way they are, that they'll be heavy favourites going into the
semi-final. And they're not weekend. Just town; they're a strong hurling town. Hurling is very popular. Yeah. It's the main sport there. Like, you know, they are kind of the sleeping giant in some ways, aren't they? Of Tip G as well.
You see that? I mean, we were talking about Care, maybe that how poor they were going in football. I think, you know, and it's probably like the Ross Grey, the Cares are the kind of the Goldilocks town, where it's not too big, not too small. You know, you have a good throughput, so you can be strong underage and all that. But Ross Grey, they're definitely a good hurling town. So, but St. Mary's had a good win over Silver Mines in this. I suppose the pulled away a bit in the second half. I think finished 118-111, so it was low enough scoring. I suppose.
Could Mary's be the dark horse for that, though?
They could. It's a 50-50 semi-final between ourselves and Gartner, who I would say. Yeah. And then, like, you know, that, I don't know, would you even call Mary's a dark horse at this stage? Because, you know, I suppose semi-finals last year, yeah, I'm talking up Ross Grey here now all week. But, yeah, you
know, I think for Tip Hurling and Tip GA, I just think it would be just really, really important to have a senior A team in Clonmel, you know.
Yeah, look, I suppose that's the goal over the next couple of years. That getting up there, I'd be a little bit concerned over the golf, I think, between that's kind of happening between some of the Dan Breen teams and the Orion there, now. But like, yeah, on ourselves, like, you know, very, very happy again. Back to back semi-finals is great progress. They're like, you know, establishing ourselves after coming up with Orion level. The weekend, you know, it definitely wasn't a classic. A lot of wides and all that. Gave away a penalty. Jason Ford missed a few frees either side of half time. Probably took the momentum out of them. But yeah, I'd say, you know, we're definitely solid enough. You know, to give anyone a game at this level. Probably playing the team of the story of the season at Orion level, Gartnahu. Again, haven't seen Port Row this year, but you know the results have been impressive. Won a North Premier Intermediate. But Gartnahu seemed to be just putting, you know, a couple of goals a game, very good, very, very good score. So that'll be no easy task in a semi final.
The win against Cashel was a big one for Burgess as well, wasn't it?
It was a very big win.
We'll come to that. We'll come to that, Timmy. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. No, but just in terms of contenders, like, you know, after getting over that game, like, Burgess would definitely quite be fancy their chance, I think, as well.
Yeah. Jeez, I don't know, lads. I think, does that say more about, look, without running them down, does that say more about Cashel than Burgess? Like, it was just, Cashel just seemed to implode. I didn't think they'd do it this year to the semi-final or final, to be honest.
Or they still scored, what, 328 or something? That sounds...
Yeah. I think 218 of that came from... maybe not 218, but a very high score that came from Freeze. It was... Bar just bullied them. They bullied them out of the game.
Yeah.
And that's... You know, but if you're not prepared for that, that's... You know, like, you can't be... That's not a black mark against Burgess. Say, oh, you bully, you get in your face, stand on their ankles, all that stuff. That's not a black mark against Burgess. That's your own fault for allowing yourselves to be bullied. You know, like, there's ways and means of winning games without going over the top. And, you know, if you can get in a fella's head, or if you can get on top of him physically and mentally, well, then that's, you know, that's your own fault. And fully deserve the win.
Yeah, look, you have to give him merit. Tibby, what's the toss out west? You know, with Cashel, I thought they'd be a lot better year two after getting in the few transfers in, but Aaron Brown out the field for them this year.
Yeah, no, it's a big disappointment for them. Like, it is, no question. Like, I suppose you would think the raw materials are there, but they do seem to be getting bet in the same kind of match, isn't it? Year on year, you exactly. know, I kind of think like... Yeah. The last time I played him was last year in a West final against the Clonoe team. We kind of won it in the end, but the same way, probably. You know what I mean? It's kind of, that's the you're after describing there, you know?
Well, that game as well, you kind of grind it out and then you just got on top of them and just won it. No, like,
and they were playing a lot better. We weren't playing near level this year. They were playing way better this year than we were playing last year as well. So, I have to say, it is interesting, like, how that the transfer influx, how what that dynamic will play out over the next 2 or 3 years if they don't push on. You know what I mean? Like, or will it be an issue at all? Like, but just you would ask it, like, because
it's like the Roy Keane thing, you know, about, you know, oh, come on, lads, it's only Spurs or whatever, you know, whatever they're playing in. But there's definitely no fear about Cashel at the moment. I think from other clubs, you do feel that there's a chance there, like, to turn them over.
But it seems like in terms of their
underage development, they had a good minor team. Like, I think last year they had a good 21 team that were kicked out or didn't get to play the West final. So it does feel like their progress, like, has been maybe stalled a little bit as well. You know, that kind of there definitely has been potential there. Like, Hurlan was in a very weak point in Cashel maybe 10, 15 years ago, you know, and it's definitely stronger than it was then, but it seems to have reached the plateau maybe or something.
You know? But, like, maybe, you know, it points to the trend there that we're maybe putting too much stock in underage success. The likes of Mary's, we've had very good underage success recent years. Cashel, like, you know, even Ross Gray are starting to come now, but you know, maybe your upper churches who can get two or three players, bring them into a dressing room with a good culture, everyone kind of training, working hard. That there's a lot in that, you know.
Oh, there is. There absolutely is. There absolutely is. And that's actually, you know, and that's this so, you know, but you know what? When I actually think about it, like, it's actually just having a core group of kind of hardcore seasoned players. Just having that there is such a, and Upper Church have had that, haven't they? You know what I mean? Where kind of clubs that have kind of fallen off a little bit, they kind of lost that were one senior, like that kind of staunch senior player. They didn't have enough of them, you know. And that's kind of so, because if you have that and you can bring in one or two, one every year, every 2 years kind of thing, it does kind of help. But Cashel kind of seem to be the opposite nearly. They're kind of, have they used what they have to the appropriate way is probably the question.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Yeah, a lot of chopping and changing out there as well. So I suppose, look, we'll wait and see. Right, lads, same question as last time. Sean, I'll go to you first this time. You're winner for the Premier Intermediate.
I think I've seen all of them bar Burge. I'm going to go Ross Gray and what I've seen against them, to be honest.
Well, you couldn't pick St Mary's after seeing him against Carrick Swan anyway. So.
It's been a good turnaround for St Mary's now from that first day. It's been a very good turnaround.
Stephen?
I'm going to go Ross Gray again.
Fair enough. Timmy?
You have to go Ross Gray in form, but I think St Mary's with the fitness and the physicality that they'll, the speed like they'll be able to bring coming in the next few weeks will be difficult to beat as well, maybe. But from what I know, Ross Gray, and I would have always seen them as an underachieving kind of. So I haven't seen Randa, but as you're saying, if they do seem to have things right, I think that's a very good sign, you know.
Yeah. And the softer ground might suit St Mary's commercials too, you know, the football side of things.
Yeah.
That's Hurling. This is Hurling we're playing. We can't leave the Premier Intermediate without talking about the relegation. We probably didn't touch on the senior relegation. That's Errol and Temple Derry in the final. But Carrick Swan, the South senior champions, could be playing junior intermediate next year if they lose against Killadang and B. Where did it all go wrong for Carrick Swan this year?
Yeah. Wow, that's a big... So, sorry, you're saying that if Carrick get bet, they can't play the South senior, they have to play South intermediate, is it?
Fine. Yes. Yeah, right. So they won't be able to defend...
So you can play the South senior if you're either senior or Premier Intermediate?
Unless Mary's win the Orion, then it'll be a straight final like the West.
Can I just ask? It's actually very interesting. I was at a conversation with a Tom L. St. Mary's hurler actually there Sunday night. I won't say who, but we were just talking about, I suppose, And I'm going to ask a question then, like, a case of putting huge emphasis on a divisional championship and really seeing that as everything, you know, and maybe to the detriment of everything else then that's scope. Like Upper Church, I think, are maybe an example of that. Like, for years trying to win a divisional championship, and we're so close and so close. And I just wondered, did the dedication, complete dedication to win that, nearly being the be all and everything, and nearly holding back in the county championship? So is it a kind of reverse on that with Swans, where, you know, they really thought to win in the South, and it was a big achievement, but was that kind of what did that, did they think that was their year nearly?
Yeah, I think Swan might have given false confidence, because we were at sixes and sevens with injuries and lads away when they played us. So, but look, they did put in a very good performance against Mullinahone. Probably they hit their peak, for maybe other clubs aren't peaking at all. Like, some of the more established senior, I'd say it all depends where you are. Some of the more established senior teams didn't seem too bothered by the divisional championships, the way they were kind of almost chucked in when Tip went out. But like, for a club like St. Mary's now, we've won South title, South senior title. Like, another one with this current crop of players has to be the goal, or one of the goals over the next couple of years, because I think it just would be massive for the promotion of hurling in Clonmel. You know, and teams like that, Upper Church is almost like a holy grail kind of thing, you know, getting the first one, and, you know, they might kind of drive on then again. So I'd say, you know, the divisions will always mean different things to different clubs. You know, Swan, like, you know, they've 23, I think it is now. So, you know, I mean, they have a proud tradition of the division as well. Like, so, Sean, like, you could probably leave the divisions now at this stage. Like, you know, you're not too bothered with them, or.
Well, like, the way the championship went, the division kind of happened by default this year with Tip gone early. Like, Swans did most of the hurling, then, they said. But, like, still, even winning divisions should actually bring you on and drive on. Like, I thought they'd win every game, to be honest, in the group as well. But just they couldn't click. Like, it's kind of the opposite. And then the teams then that might not have been stronger in the divisions now are the teams that are better up for it, maybe, or ones at the business end championship.
You wonder, winning the division and having that, having already secured the preliminary knockout phase, could that have taken an edge off them going into the, you know, like, I know you want to win the group or whatever, and you're still thinking, right, we could still be relegated if we don't. But when you know you're in a county preliminary quarter final, does it take an edge off you in the other games? And then what happens then is you have one bad result, chips away at the confidence going into the next game, and then that's a bad result, and before you know it, you're in a hole there that you might not be able to get out of.
All four teams in that group did win their divisions, so, like, you know, one of them was always going to end up in this situation where their year was going to be turned on its head, like going from a divisional championship winner to, you know, a relegation battle. Probably the disappointing thing from Swan at the weekend will be just the severity of the defeat, I suppose. I think it was 12 points in the end, or 9 points anyway. And, you know, it's hard to pick yourselves up from that.
Yeah, I can only imagine how low the confidence is. To be honest, I wouldn't get much information out of the Swan man now anyway. Like, you know, if you're asking them what's going on in the camp or what's... But I was relegated from senior. I was relegated from intermediate. I know what it's like to be in a rut like this, and what a rut like this does to you is, when there's 5 minutes to go and you're 5 points up, you don't think you're going to win, you know, whereas when the confidence is up and the standard's up, you still think loads of time, get 2 goals, you know, it's a huge mental, it's a huge psych on you, you know, and it's a huge mental block when you're in a rut and you just can't win that game, you know, it feels like everything is going wrong. The Silver Mines, it was a Silver Mines game when Jason Ford went to town. Like, one player stopped, or one player had a bad day, and they could have won that game. You know, it could have changed the whole season going into the next game. But they're in a rut now, and they're in a, it's very, very, it's not a nice place to be, because Kildangan will fancy their chances now. Them lads up there now are training with the A team, who are getting prepared for a county semi-final. So they'll be doing top class training for the next 2 weeks. Like, you know, it's going to be a tough day.
In every single game, they just got caught at the post by Newport on the weekend.
You know, it is there should be a humdinger of a game now, because it's do or die. That's it. Like, there's no second chances after that game.
And no, because we'll come to intermediate there now in a minute. But looking at the quarterfinal lineup, it's a very difficult championship to get out of. You know, you have Ballingarry that went down a couple of years ago. And, you know, I don't think they've made the semi-final in the 2 years. They didn't even make the quarterfinals this year. But speaking of which, we'll come to intermediate now, and then we'll have the readers' questions for you all. The first tie there, Laura, I suppose, the form team versus Boris O'Kane. I've these scribbled down now, so apologies if I get any of these wrong, these ties or whatever, but these are what I think they are. Laura, again, you know, very strong early season form. Stephen, you were on the receiving end there, but I give Boris O'Kane a chance there in that one.
Yeah, look, I suppose when we played them at the start of the year, now, I know for them, they were probably only in third gear because they knew of our injury situation and the lads away. But I felt in the second half, they weren't as ruthless as county champions elect. You know, whether it was just complacency or just going through to getting the game finished. Like, but our second half, I don't know, was there... I think we matched them for scores, or we could even have came out on top by a point in the second half. And we were in a bad place at the time with the injuries. Myself and Willie Dwyer had to play with hamstring injuries at the time. Then they go out and let her golden the following day by even more. But then Borland then go out in the last round and sewed into him, like, you know, really put it up to him. So, like, what Laura wanted, I suppose, is that ruthlessness back. I played Laura in 2007 and I'm half afraid to say it, like, but they better be 39 points. But they were ruthless. Even the game was over after 20 minutes and they never lifted the boot, you know, and I didn't feel that ruthlessness when they played us at all. Now, again, they were just going to try to get through the game, maybe small panel, didn't want injuries, but that's something they probably have to keep an eye on, you know, and there's no room now for complacency in the next, from here on in for Laura if they want to go straight back up.
Definitely, it's South versus West in the next one. And probably two teams that many wouldn't have seen kind of getting through here. It's Skeen or Inca versus Golden. Timmy, is this Golden? Is this a surprise them making a quarter final, or have they been building over the last couple of years?
Yeah, like, did a good minor. Golden won the under 17A this year, West, I think. And last year they are in the West under 19B, or they could have won it maybe. Glyce of Jackie Leamy there is very good. There's a Curvin fella there as well. So again, like, a surprise. I'm not sure surprise or is it a surprise, you know, but they probably wouldn't be contenders. You know, you wouldn't fancy them for the championship maybe. But I think they got to the semi-final in the intermediate maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Killangan's B beat them by a pint or so as well. So, like, they're not... You know, they have a few nice forwards that I particularly those I called out there, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Skeen, I suppose, I won't say they're in bonus territory as well, because they got to Munster final last year in junior, so that they do have potential. But, you know, not many would have seen them kind of getting through the group as they did, almost with ease. The winner that... Well, kind of, you know, going into a semi-final, like, bit of momentum there will take a bit of stopping there. Drummond Inch and Knockavilla Kickhams. Sean, Drummond being, you know, kind of mid-second team, like, you know, familiar territory. They're starting to do well in these competitions. You see Stars, Kildangan be recent winners of it. Could Drum be the next team to add their name to that?
Drum being consistent this level for a while now, and again, a lot of it goes to, like I said, Killangan B training with your first team makes some, you're up in the tempo, and then you have the chance then of playing maybe the higher level, and they're managing their team very well. Like, Drum have every chance to cover and form, you know, like, so they're always there. This is one grade where I can never get my head around. Like, for years we were trying to win, and we finally broke this against Cash that was there in Holy Cross, like, but we lost the Clonakenny and mine over the years, and it took us 5 or 6 years to get together, but such a hard grade to get out of, and it's season there, like, going down, if Carrick go down into it, like, getting back out, like, it's very...
Sean, what players do Drum B have with him? Is it older, a mixture
the
of...
Older, kind of... A few of the Butlers, yeah, the older team. Butlers, yeah. Their team for a couple of years.
Maybe Butler, Kevin Butler, probably, yeah.
So, like, they're... and lads aren't playing junior, you know, they're the lads that are seasoned veterans. They know what to do when, like, if a younger lad's mixed in then with them, like the under 17, 19, that's what they're doing. Like.
Kickhams are one group, though, lads. I tell you, like, Kickhams are, they have always produced good hurlers. Like, when we were growing up in West Tip, like, Kickhams were unfulfilled potential is absolutely what it was, really. And they brought it back in. Like, they won the West. They beat Clonoulty in the under-19 West replay there. I suppose it was a great game. They're there, thereabouts with the under-17. Like, and it just kind of shows, like, even with the four players who is no longer with them, or four or five, like, they still have a good young team there that has a future ahead of them as well, you know. Kickhams are one club that has always and will produce hurlers, I think, as well, you know.
Yeah, I think they're another semi-finalist from last year as well. They lost to Gordon Hoo, or was that the year before?
2 years ago. That was the last game that the lads... That was the last game that the lads who transferred played them, I think.
Yeah, that would remember watching that. And then last game in that one then is Kilsheelan Moneygall. That's a repeat of last year's semi-final, I think, with Kilsheelan coming out on top. But a lot harder to call this year, I think. Kilsheelan out of the football now, but they haven't been too impressive. They needed penalties to get past Bohorlán at the weekend.
What'll be a worry for Kilsheelan was Marky Hove set scores from play in the previous game. No, that'll be a very big worry. And for them to progress and challenge for the county title, they're going to need them, their big man performing. And, you know, it was a surprise. I think the Bohorlán set the forward as well, who did all the damage against us. Jesus Christ, if he ran up to the hospital, he put the ball over the bar when he was playing against us. But both of them, I think, were held scoreless in the game they played each other, you know. And that would be a worry. And for me, that would tip it. After playing Moneygall last year, we played Kilsheelan this year. I'd fancy Moneygall to come through that one this year. You know, I think the football plays a part in hampering Kilsheelan hurling. You know, I know they'll disagree with me, but there's a lot of talent in Kilsheelan. You know, and I think if they don't make hay now in the next year or two, they're probably going to be stuck down intermediate. You know, for a while, they have a lot of talent there.
It's a very hard grade to get out of. And, mm-hmm. You know, good young teams can perish there.
Yeah, like you think about. I think when the year St. Mary's bet Gordon Hoe in the county final to go senior, it was either the year previous or the year after Gordon Hoe were in the relegation battle. Yeah, intermediate.
The year after, 2017 and.
Yeah, then they regrouped and they went again and they progressed again. Like, tis a bad performance can set you in the wrong direction, you know, or a good performance could set you in the right direction. That's how competitive this grade is. You know, like, there's a puck of a ball between a couple of clubs there. Some are contesting the wrong side of the championship and others are progressing to the county quarterfinal, you know, and only a puck of ball.
Yeah, look at Burgess this year, you know, kind of real Jekyll and Hyde over the last couple of years. Relegation from Dan Breen, relegation last year again, lost, you know, coming into the last group game, needing a win against St. Mary's just to make it. Now they're in a county semi-final, like, you know, so it's, as I said, the margins are very thin, which is, you know, it's a good, I suppose, validation of the current championship structures for hurling. That, you absolutely know, everything is so competitive, like. Right, lads, I'm going to ask the last question because it actually comes up in our reader questions, but winner for real intermediate. Timmy, I'll go to you first.
I think Blahara, with the influence of Bonnermar and the Hogan, are just, like, the Hogans are just a team for me, I think, and their results have showed that, haven't they, so far? So,
give me a dark, because there's 18 left in this, give me a dark horse as well.
Kilsheelan, I'd say, based upon, and if you say, Stephen, they're out of the football, so that means they have a bit more to concentrate on it now, hurling. So, and I think last year they didn't mind him too. You only beat them in the county final, wasn't it, by very close margin. So,
yeah,
I think when you think about now and you're saying who they have, and they can only concentrate on one code now for the next few weeks, I put them down, right?
Stephen. Your winners and your dark horses.
I'm going to give Laura a nod because it's Ken Hogan factor. I think he's going to have him extremely well prepared. The dark horse I will go with will be Moneygall. After playing Moneygall last year, at times they were brilliant. They were brilliant going forward, you know, and they had a little bit of cut in them that I like in teams that, you know, I refer back to Cashlin, maybe Nina. Sometimes teams just love playing hurling, and it's when the game is physical, they kind of might back off a small bit. But I think Moneygall can bring that little bit of physicality, and they'd be my dark horses now.
And they had maybe an off day just in the semi-final last year. Sean, come to you last.
It's Stephen Stowe, my dark horse, and it's the same winner as Laura. So Laura and Moneygall for talking to a few lads around.
I'll go for Skeheen for a dark horse, because maybe they could beat Golden in the semi-final, and you're halfway there. If you're in the semi-final, then like you have a chance. So I'll go for that. But like, yeah, if you take Laura out of that, the case could be made for all the other seven teams or whatnot. Laura definitely aren't unbeatable. Right, folks. Quick fire buzzer round questions to finish now. Liam Ryan, long-term fan of the show. Matt Barlow to replace Craig Morgan at cornerback for Tipperary in 2023. I'll answer that. I'd say if Matt Barlow can stay fit, I think the world is his oyster there for Tip. Premier Intermediate winners. We've had that one already. That's from Keane. 2974. This really tests your knowledge, this one. Is Gartnahu winning the minor B? I presume that's, they're in the semi final. They bet killing all, so
I'll give him the nod. Yeah,
definitely.
There's a feel good factor in the club now.
What do you think of Port Roe this year? And call the two finalists again, Premier Intermediate. Port Roe will be a bit disappointed how the year fizzled out. Have you seen?
After North, especially.
Yeah, North under 15B. And this, it's not a specialist subject, is it? Under 17A thoughts. Holy Cross unstoppable there, surely.
They got caught in the mid-final by, oh jeez,
McCarthy.
Yeah,
I'm
thinking
the under 19. Yeah.
Yeah, they understand. Yeah, and they bet us well in 17. They're caught in the hop, but they're back in anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, they hammered Swan at the weekend.
Yeah.
Favorite Tip player of all time.
Owen Kelly.
Noel McGrath.
Oh, that's a good one, Timmy. I'll go Nicky English just.
Wow, John Nahy. Maybe, yeah. Going back a few years, but still probably, yeah. He just one that springs to mind, like if just pure passion on that.
You have to go for the ones when you're a nipper, like, you know.
My period was later Babs's year. That was my kind of period, you know.
Minor going back to under 18 thoughts. That's from B. Kelly.
Yeah, for me, it's a yes. I prefer back to the 18s.
I fully 21. Agree. It's fair and positive 19s to train. Like, I know what your club is like, but I don't know if our 19s were together 5 or 6 times this year between being pulled junior, senior, and everything. Like, what was your kind of thinking of that, Timmy? Will you be the same outside?
It's a good question. I actually haven't thought enough about it. I just wonder, the popular opinion seems to go back to under 18. I just wonder if everyone thought about all the variables to it. Like, to my knowledge, I know this all sounds good in theory, and I know you'd say that as well, but the GAA have the player pathway there, and essentially it was brought in, the both under 17 and 19 fits in with the player pathway more appropriately in bringing through players through the ages. And so on, and having under 17 as a developmental age, even though we don't do that with it, you know. But that's the theory is there behind it, you know. So I think it's just good to understand that as well. They didn't just pluck it from the air either, you know. But has it worked in practice is the thing, isn't it, you know?
Colin Crowley has a good thread on Twitter about some of the, you know, the possible pitfalls of going back to under 18, but
You know,
it's just good to consider it all. I think something, I'm not saying, I'm not accusing you lads of that now. Just please don't take it up that way. But sometimes, yeah, something gets really, becomes a very, you know, people hold a viewpoint and it becomes very popular. And, you know, sometimes then we're not thinking of all the variables. So I actually think I saw that trend as well, you know. So, yeah.
Like, it's a great age grade. Like, your final with Holy Cross, ourselves in Holy Cross, cracking final. But it just felt like them players are being dragged from both teams into every grade and every team possible. I'd know that it was a fixture plan and something there to maybe play a different time of year, play the Center 21 at the end of the year, you know. So it's a grade I love, but it just seeing players being dragged.
Your games on Mondays and Wednesdays, like, you know, so. You know, games for half a year, and then you know there's the whole burnout. But like a good under 17 or like an 18 year old could be playing a hell of a lot of games, like between junior and all that in the summer. Like,
but he was, they were anyway, though. Between the under 17,
they not know. A lot of minors would have been, but they wouldn't have been. They wouldn't have been training with the juniors or seniors. I think now a lot of 19s are training with junior and senior panel as their first team to train with. If you speak, and then that's your team we're training with, and then going back to 19 for the match, like. If you understand.
Yeah.
The next question, I think it's more of a comment. Nina under 17s to win the county. I don't even know what grade they're in or what code that is.
15's got bet tonight, did they? They're 17.
Yeah, by whom? Yeah.
I don't know.
How do you rate Burgess' chances now? So
in the Premier Intermediate. Oh.
Yeah.
To be honest, they went in against Cashless, said here, runner dogs, bait. Like, they could win, hit a right score.
You know, they're scoring, like, they have a great free taker. You know, I think you got 2-1 from play as well. Name escapes me now at the moment. Like, but, second last one, the football, Sean, county champions in the football. I'll go to the football correspondent.
Well, I'm not one on it.
Yeah, I'll go with commercials in that. I'll put my colours on the line
pass,
there.
Yeah, hard to see past commercials with Lockmore with all the injuries, but Lockmore is still Lockmore. But
and Bracken's gone, you know, as well.
I read something today that
the double.
You know,
that's and the last.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, the last one then is Upper Church for the Junior A County title. I think they have my Rovers in the semi final, but yeah, they have a great chance.
Oh, they have some team. Their class, they was in the mid final.
James Barry, there, isn't he?
Yeah, James Barry, shorts. I wouldn't mind playing him again, though. You know what kind of way? As in, wouldn't mind seeing him in a county final, to be honest.
Sorry, who would you say they're playing?
I think they've my Rovers now in the county
centre. And is that my Rovers? That's their main team, yeah?
That's their first team, yeah.
That's a very underachieving area there, say, isn't it?
Yeah.
They've paid absolute lip service to Hurling. They've no interest in whatsoever. I watched.
That's interesting now, yeah.
They played Ballingarry in the South Intermediate final last year down at Devon Park. And until they got a few injuries before half time, and a couple more went off after the second after half time. But had they kept a full contingent on the pitch, they were better than Ballingarry. They would have won the South Intermediate Championship last year. And then it just all went to pot. Like, they were up for the... Because it was a self-final, they were up for it. But after that, then it was like, all right, throw away the hurlies and play football. If they put the same...
Yeah, but
they're
not putting up any trees in football either, so...
But I know. And, like, if they were winning counties, you'd be saying, yeah, you know, like... But they're throwing away the hurlies and they're not bothering and they're togging out. And there's some very good hurlers there. You know, like, look, I can't...
They won a minor county, yeah.
They
won a minor county A in 2013.
It is.
So that, like, how many clubs I know on the race class, like, would love that.
And it goes back to Timmy's point earlier on. Winning a minor A is not the be all and end all when it comes to adult hurling, because when you move on to adult hurling, if the whole club is not buying into what you're trying to do, it's not going to work. Like, they were the best minor hurling team in the county. And nothing transpired at adult level.
Good hurlers there. Stephen Kirk, he was Wild Rovers.
Yeah, he was Wild Rovers.
Yeah, Sean Carey's been a very good player as well.
Sean Carey's gone.
He's a better player than now.
Yeah, he's gone to play around.
Do you know, like, is it Ben Owens? Is that the young lad's name?
Yeah, Ben Owens. He's not sure if he's playing anymore. One kind of picked up an injury, but
yeah, he was a fantastic hurler. Fantastic hurler. And but look, I can't be hypocritical because we only play football when the matches are on. You know, we'll try and play a bit of football now that we're out of the hurling. But they're a very good team if they want to be, and if they put their mind to it this year, they should have walked that Junior A Championship. You know, from what I've seen at the intermediate grade.
Yeah, right, folks. Thanks a million for that, Timmy, Stephen, Sean. Pleasure as always. Two good semi-finals to look forward to. Well, four good semi-finals and then four good intermediate quarterfinals to look forward to. So hopefully we chat again next week or the week after with plenty more to discuss. Thanks a million.
See you guys.
Probably, mate. Yep.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.